a sentiment, it's a wish, and it's a desire. Beautiful song. I appreciate Brother Don leading that. I request that song to go along with our lesson this evening. But first, want to let everyone know we're happy that you're here. Any visitors we have among us, we're grateful that you're here. Please know that you are a blessing to us. I pray we are a blessing to you. And we want to let you know that you're wanted, that you're needed. And we just appreciate your desire to be here this evening with us. Now, I want to begin by asking a question. And that question is, do you want a closer relationship with God? Right? And if you're here this evening and you're a New Testament Christian, your answer might be, well, of course. Right? You know, why, preacher, would you ask that question? Well, I want that in your mind here because now, of course, this lesson is part two from this morning. And I try to make this lesson make sense if you weren't here this morning. But I think you'll understand a few more things, at least my desire in this lesson, what I want to accomplish if you were here this morning. But what I want you to think about is that, and I mentioned this morning, you know, if you want a better relationship with God, of course, you know, it's going to take effort. It's going to take work. It's going to take practice on your part, and there has to be a willingness on your part. There absolutely has to be a willingness. You know, and the thing about it is, our Creator has always wanted a relationship with us. Dennis, is that you up there on the desktop?
Yes.
You'll see on the desktop the icon labeled Building Near to God on there, that PowerPoint. If you get that, if you could open that, I'd appreciate it. But understand this, that our God wants a relationship with mankind. Now, why does God want a relationship with mankind? I don't fully know, but what I do know is that He loves us, right? He created us, He loves us, He wants that relationship, right? From the very beginning of time, God has wanted a relationship with man, and you know, think about that. Why does God want to be close to us? Right here in the garden, God walked with man in the cool of the day in chapter 3, verse 8. And Enoch walked with God in Genesis 5, verse 24. And Noah in chapter 6, verse 9, he walked with God. We were created for this purpose. We were created to have a relationship with God. And, you know, Paul was trying to tell some folks in Acts chapter 17 who did not know God, he was trying to tell them this. In Acts 17, beginning of verse 26, "And He has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their preappointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for Him and find Him, though He is not far from each of us. For in Him we live and move and have our being." And so that's this idea here. Paul was trying to get across these folks that didn't know God. You know, we're made to seek God. We're made to find God. We're made to cry out like the song we just sang. You know, "Near my God to thee." Now, the prophet of old Isaiah said in Isaiah 55 and verse 6, "Seek the Lord while He may be found, and call upon Him while He is near." And one of the main reasons I wanted the PowerPoint, I was going to show you a couple pictures here, so I'm just going to do my best to describe the picture that would have been up there. It is up there, it's just not on my monitor. Okay. I guess I should have looked behind me first. Let me jump ahead. I want you to see a picture here to kind of maybe put an image in your mind. This right here is a picture that I took. I had several of them from a camera, and I took a picture with my cell phone of this one here, and I couldn't find the other ones. This is we were landing, about to land in Lviv, Ukraine, And we're landing at an old Soviet airport, and the city of Lviv is around it. Rather big city, 3-4 million people. And I remember seeing something that just really struck me. And you can kind of see some of it here. I know it's really a grainy picture, but these are all, most of these here, I'm pretty sure, unfinished apartment buildings. And it's like they have them, it seemed, you know, 6 stories to 15 stories, and it had all of the outside kind of cinder block looking stuff. There was no windows, no doors, and most of them didn't have roofs. And then another picture I had that I think as we kind of curved around, I'm telling you, it had to be 20 miles square of houses, unfinished houses, perfectly symmetrical. Most of them were 2-story at least. And it was looked like it was kind of cinder block, white cinder block material. And again, it was just the frame of the house. There was no roofs, no windows, no doors. That's it. And it just didn't make sense to me. And it was miles of this stuff. And later on, I learned that the reason that they were like that, and what made me think about it for this lesson here, is the folks basically in 1992 separated from the Soviet Union. Well, they had used the Soviet ruble, the money, and since they were separating, they knew within a very short amount of time those rubles would be worth nothing. And the only thing that was available for people to spend that money on, I guess, was a plot of land and those bricks. So they went and they bought it all up and I guess paid whoever to just frame up those houses, but they didn't have any more money ever. Now, this would have been about 11 years after that, to do anything else. So there it just stood for at least a decade. It had to be thousands of houses and many, many apartment buildings that were just empty shells. And that really got me thinking here about this lesson. And the point is sometimes, you know, it seems that Christians are these hollow structures sometimes. The construction began, but it never finished for whatever reason, right? And I think that's a good illustration, at least it is for me. Right? Sometimes we want to start that building project like we talked about this morning, but we never follow through for whatever reason to finish it off. And so we'll have that in your mind here this evening. And in the time that we have remaining here, I want us to look at 4 ways that we can grow near to God or build closer to God for our theme for the year. Number one, growing near to God through repentance and submission. Understand this as you turn your Bibles back to your Old Testament, Zephaniah. Here's a book we probably don't go to very often. And what I want you to see here and understand in this first point, there cannot be any closeness to God where rebellion is present. It just can't happen. It will not happen. Where there is rebellion, there is no closeness to God. There is no building process. You will never finish what was begun in that building process. In Zephaniah, just a little short book, 3 chapters, chapter 1. Now, Zephaniah's name means Jehovah hides. You know, a lot of these Old Testament prophets, if you find out what their name means, it'll help you understand the book. Well, Zephaniah means God hides. Well, hiding from what? Well, I think it was the idea that God's hiding from his people because they're in rebellion. And so chapter 1 of Zephaniah is basically saying that they're not clothed properly. Right, and there's a good illustration for us today. We need to be clothed with Christ in baptism to begin our journey. But then chapter 2, he gets to talking about the consequences of rebellion, and there's this call to repentance. But I just want to read 2 verses. Chapter 3, Zephaniah. Chapter 3, beginning of verse 1. Woe to her who is rebellious and polluted. Why are they rebellious and polluted? Well, they're not clothed properly, chapter 1, and they're not listening to God in his call for repentance. She has not obeyed his voice. She has not received correction. She has not trusted in the Lord. She has not drawn near to her God. Her princes in her midst are roaring lions. Her judges are evening wolves. that leave not a bone till the morning. I went ahead and added verse 3 right there, but I just wanted you to see something very important in this. You know, like Israel, as long as rebellion is present and persistent, there is no closeness with God. In Isaiah chapter 66, I want to read two verses to you. Isaiah chapter 66, let's read verse 2 and then verse 4. Verse 2 reads, "For all those things my hand has made and all those things exist, says the Lord." Kind of like what Paul was saying to those folks there in Acts chapter 17, giving them knowledge concerning who our God is. "But on this one will I look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit and who trembles at my word." And then we see here in verse 4, same chapter, "So will I choose their delusions and bring their fears on them. Because when I called, no one answered. When I spoke, they did not hear. But they did evil before my eyes and chose that in which I do not delight." Again, remember Isaiah 59 and verse 2. It's our sin, our iniquities, our transgressions that separate us from God. Right? And it's reminding us that that our sin is a barrier between us and God. There can be no growth, no closeness, no relationship, no building where unresolved sin is present. Let me read one more passage here, James, the fourth chapter. We're going to move on to our next point here. James chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. "But he gives more grace, therefore says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." And until we start resisting the devil, there can be no closeness with God. We have to repent. We have to submit. Keep reading there in James, the fourth chapter, verses 8 through 10. "Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up." Number two this evening here, growing near to God with confidence. Growing near to God with confidence. Romans, the fourth chapter. Abraham, be reminded of Abraham. You want to talk about faith and confidence right here. Abraham teaches us a lot. Right, Abraham believed in the promises of God, and it was accredited to him as righteousness. So we got to believe. We need to believe in the promises of God. In Romans, the fourth chapter, verse 20 to 22 here, "And he," speaking of Abraham, "did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he, God, had promised, he was able to do." You see that? He was able to perform it. "And then therefore it was accredited to him for righteousness." To grow closer to God, go to Hebrews 4, to grow closer to God, repentance is absolutely needed. Repentance now means to turn. Right? I'm going to change the way I think, so I'm going to change the direction I'm going. I'm going to change the path that I'm on. And when God says do that and you do it, have confidence. Have confidence. But we also need to think, you know, turn where? We'll kind of tie this together here. Hebrews 4 and verse 16. "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Hebrews, the 10th chapter. I want you to read this with me here. And then we're going to go on to our third point. Now, we've probably heard this passage many times, but listen again with fresh ears thinking about this. Growing near to God with confidence. God said, if you do it, he's going to respond. And if you've done what he said to do, you've responded, have confidence that God's going to keep his promises. You know, trust in God, right? So Hebrews 10, beginning of verse 19, "Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed pure water. When you obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, when you reenact his death, burial, and resurrection in immersion in water baptism, you're cleansed through the blood of Christ. Believe that promise. Have confidence in that promise. Understand, you get to start all over. Let us then, verse 23, hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, like Abraham. It's going to say something very similar. For he who promised is faithful. Abraham believed it. Hey, Abraham, you're going to have a child at 100 years old. Okay, God, I believe you. Now, I want you to take Isaac, your only child that I promised you. I want you to take him up on this hill, and I want you to sacrifice him. Okay, God, I'll do it. He believed in the promises of God without wavering. And then verse 24, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhort one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Listen, God wants us to have confidence. He doesn't want us to have a wishy-washy faith. Well, I guess I kind of hope I get to make it maybe to heaven. That's not the kind of faith. That's not a biblical faith. God wants us to trust in his promises. And when we do that, we're going to grow closer to him. Number three, growing near to God in real faith. And this is really an extension of our second point here. But let me ask you a couple questions. You know, do you believe in the Bible? Again, that's one of those questions you're probably thinking, well, of course, preacher, why would you ask that question? You know, I wouldn't be here if I didn't believe in the Bible. Right? How about this question? Do you believe that God has intervened in the affairs of humans? Do you believe that? Well, again, you're thinking, well, of course, preacher, I believe that. Now, if you've answered those questions in the affirmative, now ask yourself this. Does your life reflect the fact that you answered those questions in the affirmative? That you believe in the Word of God and you believe that God is active? And he intervenes in the affairs of men. That he intervenes in your affairs. Right? And if you believe that, does your life reflect that? I think that's a big question that we need to think about. And I got another picture for you here. Again, this is from Ukraine. And something that amazed me when I was there was two great contrast of the people there. Number one, they were the toughest people I have ever met in my life. Right? And you see how they're holding out against Russia. That kind of confirms. These are some tough people. I'm telling you what. But also, at least at that time, these were the laziest people I've ever met in my life. I kid you not. Right? You, on base, you'd have officers. They might drink a soda, and there could be a trash can. Right there, what would they do? Would they walk and throw it? No, they'd drop it on the ground. And they all smoked, I swear, 20 packs of cigarettes a day. When they're done with a cigarette, what do they do? Just wherever they're at, right? But they were the toughest people I ever met. But they were the laziest people. And here's my proof, right here. Now, you probably can't see it, but this is a truck at the military airport. They've been out of the Soviet Union for 11 years at that point. Did someone take the time to get rid of the hammer and sickle off of that truck? No. You'd see him everywhere. Now this, it kind of looked like maybe someone got a Brillo pad and tried for a few seconds. You're like, nah, it's not worth it. Right? And so you see things like that, that they were just lazy. Right? But the potential that they had, I saw, it was amazing. You know, and what I want you to think about is, you know, failure to care, a failure to grow, right? And so like we talked about this morning, when we talked about getting that wholehearted devotion to God, you've got to care, right? And it's not going to be easy. Anything worthwhile takes effort on your part. It's going to take time, right? You got to put in the hours. And we're talking about building on God's foundation this year, so you got to ask yourself, where are you at? And are you going to be involved in that? Well, what part are you going to play? Right? Not everyone else. You think, what part are you going to play in this building process? Romans 5th chapter and verse 6. While we were still weak, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Do you believe that? Right? Do you believe that you're weak without Christ? Right? Do you believe that he died for you just at the right time? Do you truly believe that he rose again? Right? Do you believe that you are the ungodly that he died for, that we read of there? Do you believe that? Well, if so, then have a real faith, not a contrived Sunday morning only faith, but a faith that's consistent and persistent, that has confidence and trust in God. Confidence and trust that when he says something and you respond to it, he doesn't lie, he's not going to break his promise. He's going to do what he promises here, right? Do you believe this? Romans 6, beginning of verse 3. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. Do you believe in that newness of life that God has promised if you've done that? Right, if you've come to Christ in belief and a repentive heart, Lord, I'm going to change the way that I'm thinking. I confess Christ before men. And you reenact his death, burial, and resurrection water. Do you believe that when you come up out of that water, you get to walk in newness of life? Listen, we have to believe that, right? You know, we've got to believe that right there will bring about a newness of life. And it's all about a real faith that's weighed out the evidence and come to the conclusion that it's true. And that if we responded to that, God's going to keep his promise. And that's the only way to have real obedient faith, to make preparation. And in that preparation, we're going to build as God wants us to build. Remember, if God's doing the challenging to build and to grow, we just need to say, you know, what do you want us to build? Finally here, this evening, number 4, we need to grow near to God through humility. Now, at this point, if you haven't really been paying attention, this might seem out of place. But please listen here. You know, and this is going to highlight several of the things that we've already examined. You know, allow God to humble you. Right, part of our scripture reading, well, it mirrors our scripture reading, I'm sorry. James 4 and verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Listen, we've got to humble ourselves. No question, we've got to do it. Right, and by the way, that's not weakness. Right, it takes real strength to be humble. And this is one that we struggle with. You know how hard it is to really humble ourselves? It takes real strength for me to read the Word of God and realize I'm not doing what that says, and I change it. Or you have an eldership come and say, hey, you know what? We're aware that you're not living in line with the Scripture. It's our duty. We love you so much. We want to show you what the Word of God says. A good, humble heart. And it takes strength to say, you know what? You're right. And I'm going to change that. That takes strength. And we had that in our scripture reading earlier, 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 through 11, right? If you want God to lift you up closer to him, you got to humble yourself first. Right? And this is seen in many ways. And here's a passage I mentioned this morning. And you're going to see it several times throughout this year with our theme. John, the 15th chapter. And we're not going to read all 8 verses there, but I want to remind you of the first 3 verses, John chapter 15. Right? And remember, we're talking about humbling ourselves, and this occurs in many different ways. He says, I am the vine dresser. Jesus talking about himself. My Father, he says, I'm the true vine, and my Father's a vine dresser. Every branch, that's the disciples, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes or he cleans, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. That's how God prunes us. That's how he cleans us, with his word. Whether you're reading it or it's being preached or it's being taught, or a brother and sister in Christ that loves you enough to come and show you, will you let it prune you? Will you let it clean you? Right? When you're pruned, then you're going to be able to bear more fruit. Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Hebrews chapter 12. Another passage. Now, this last part of 2022, we looked at verses 28 and 29 in Hebrews 12. But we're going to back up a little further here in this chapter for some lessons this year. Chapter 12, beginning of verse 7. This is how you allow God to humble you, right here. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they, talking about human fathers, indeed chastened us for a few days as seemed best to them. But he, talking about God, for our profit, that we might may be partakers of his holiness. If you want to partake in the holiness of God, you allow him to chasten you. You allow him to clean you. You allow him to prune you. Verse 11, now no chastening seems joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Will you allow God to humble you with his word? Right, and carefully observe the commandments of God. Deuteronomy 8 and verse 1, that was one of the problems with the children of Israel. Right, they wouldn't allow that to happen. Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. John 14 and verse 15. Right, his word prunes us, it chastens us. His word humbles us if we allow that humbling process to take place. And that grows us closer to God. Now, by way of conclusion this evening here, again, God desires a relationship with you. That's why he created you, right? He created you to walk closely with you, right? And like anything that's worthwhile and important, it takes work, it takes effort, right? And even as we read there in Hebrews 12, it can be painful, but it's for our benefit so we can be partakers of his holiness. Grow closer to God through repentance and submission. We grow closer to God by approaching his throne of grace with confidence. We grow closer to God with a trusting faith. And we grow closer to God by humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God. This evening, if you are subject to the gospel invitation, that opportunity is available to you if you need to put on Christ in baptism. Or if you've done that, lost your way along the way. Let us show you the love of God. If you need to bring something before the church or if you just need encouragement, let somebody know, please, as we stand, as we sing.